welcome to Shooting From the Hip. This is Mark Avery in for Shooting From the Hip. Jeff Pedro is out today, and so I'm here without adult supervision. This is going to be a fun day. We do have a special guest in the studio, and we'll get to him in just a few minutes. I'd like to let you know that Shooting From the Hip is sponsored by Sim Trainer, Dayton area's first indoor shooting range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, just south of the river, right across from the DP&L maintenance yard. And if you'd like to come down and check out the range, find out some of the things that we offer, we'd love to have you do that. You can contact the range at 293-3914 if you have any questions about programs that we offer. You can also find out a lot more information about us at sim-trainer.com, which is our website. Sim-trainer.com has all the information, all our class schedules, the range open hours, and all the other information about the things, the projects that we offer there at Sim Trainer. If you would like to be part of today's show, we'd love to have you call the studio. The telephone number here is... What is our telephone number? I completely drew a blank. It's 457-1290. Here we go. I knew that it would eventually come to me. I've had the thing on play for so long. Every once in a while, you just have a brain gap, and that was mine for today, I hope. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio, and we will get you up on the board faster than I can remember the phone number. If you have been following the show in the past, you know that we also have our website. There is a radio show page, sim-trainer.com/radio. And out there today, we have done something that we normally don't do, which is to tell a little bit about what's coming up on the show. And today we have a special guest in the studio. Dr. Greg Kennebec, MD, is here today to talk about several things. He's an emergency physician. And so, Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me. And if Jeff's out there listening today, thanks to Jeff for the invitation. Before we get started, I have to reach out and say hello to my team on Crisis ED. Emily and Cole, if you're out there listening, it is wonderful to be speaking to you this way, as well as our additional teammate, Chaplain Rick Oberheide. Thank you for joining.
Hey, thanks very much. Tell us a little bit about your background and how it is that you happen to be involved in this Crisis ED program.
So, Mark, as you and Jeff know, I'm an emergency physician with the United States Air Force, and I was based at Wright-Patterson Air Force now 7 years ago. So I have probably worn out my welcome. As an aside, thank you for admitting that you're not under direct adult supervision today. I consider myself young enough now to participate in that capacity. And so I do emergency medicine for the United States Air Force, and I've spent 28 years now with the DOD, and I became affiliated with Sim Trainer by living nearby and having Jeff run me through his teaching curriculum along with your assistants. So I've really enjoyed being with y'all, and glad to continue.
And we've been glad to have you down there. Greg also does some of our work when we do our tactical rifle training, has quite a bit of experience with that, and so has been participating with us as we do some of those classes as well. Tell us a little bit about Crisis ED.
So Crisis ED is just a moniker that I've applied. It's actually my email, but because I do a fair amount of education along the lines of emergency medicine and some austere medicine, deployment medicine, and general survival topics, I created that just sort of as a cover that's easy to remember as an email. Now it's actually spilling over into a team concept. 2 years ago, I applied this initially to raise $2,500 in my first effort toward the Wounded Warrior Foundation. We were very promptly successful within a week or two's time frame.
Wow, that's great.
I traveled so much last year that I did not get a chance to continue in that endeavor. And so this year, I've doubled the effort and created a bike riding team that is going to head down to Washington, D.C. to participate in the World Team Sports Face of America Ride 2012 from Washington, D.C. to Gettysburg on a two-day ride.
2 days, Washington, D.C. to Gettysburg, the battlefields at Gettysburg?
Yes.
Okay, that's a pretty long bike ride.
Just over 100 miles.
Okay, and it's all uphill, too, I'm sure.
Both ways.
Yeah, both ways.
Going back? We're going to wear cleats, though.
Yeah, do you go back?
It's a one-way trip. Okay. So the ride is appropriately sagged. The bicycles are provided. In our case, we're not going to bring our bicycles with us, but I'm going to bring my children, Emily and Cole, with me, and they're going to participate along with our chaplain's support. Prayer support from everybody is welcome, as are charitable donations. What the effort is toward is getting Wounded Warriors funded and sponsored to participate in this ride with us. So actually, they're going to do this ride, and we're going to participate with them.
Cool. Excellent. So this is something of the Wounded Warrior Project itself. I mean, this is focused on getting wounded warriors in to do the ride then.
That's absolutely right. As you're probably well aware, their medical, orthotic, and basic overall life needs are met in a variety of ways. World Team Sports channels the donations from this particular project toward getting them there and riding, and then the leftovers are applied to other aspects of Wounded Warrior Foundation.
So the fundraising that's going on, does that supports the riders that are the wounded warriors who are riding in the thing, or is that also for other Wounded Warrior projects?
It absolutely supports this entire ride concept, and it occurs throughout the nation. The details are found on the website, worldteamsports.com/faceofamerica.
Okay, and there's also a link on our radio page that I put to Greg's team page. So if you'd like to click on the Support Team Crisis Ed link that's in the show notes for today, that's out on sim-trainer.com/radio, and it's also out on our Facebook page. So if you're a Facebook user, you can go to facebook.com/simtrainer, and you'll find a link out there as well. So tell us a little bit about some of the other things that Crisis Ed does.
So Mark, I've been affiliated with some local organizations similar to Sim Trainer in the regional area, and as well as a couple of other states. I get invited to participate in teaching all aspects of the firearm shooting sports industry, similar to what you're familiar with Sim Trainer, and I'm sure your audience is aware of that as well. My unique capacity is also being an emergency physician with some deployment experience. So when I'm not teaching people how to shoot or learning from those shooters that actually participate with me, I make an effort to teach primarily medical topics related to trauma.
Okay.
As most people seem to be interested in these days with the tactical combat casualty care concept, but also things as
now
diverse.
These are for medical professionals, or are they for other professionals, or are they for those of us like me who is just, you know, interested in things and want to be prepared for whatever might happen?
In my own formal academic context, it's for medical professionals, but what we do with groups like Sim Trainer and others is we take lay people who are interested in learning more about how to take care of themselves, either in an austere environment or in a national catastrophe, a regional catastrophe, where the normal resources are not available, as well as applying specific fundamental layperson medical aspects of care to themselves and others.
So what kinds of care are we talking about here? So that it's emergency medicine. Obviously, it's when things didn't go the way you'd planned. So what are some of the kinds of treatments or some of the preparations that people can look forward to in a class like this?
The foundation of the courses that I have designed and taught with the assistance of others generally revolves around a gunshot wound, a car motor vehicle accident, a fall from a deer stand,
okay,
a chainsaw mishap.
Yeah, chainsaw cuts, those are bad.
Not good.
Yeah.
And so what we teach people to do is to stop bleeding through a variety of mechanisms that are well established now, after a decade of research and development in the current war situation, as well as dealing with chest injury specifically to facilitate breathing,
okay,
keeping an open airway, packaging patients actually for transport, or, you know, keeping them warm, splinting appropriate extremities, and preserving their spinal alignment and integrity.
Okay. So those are some of the things that if hunters should be very interested in, obviously. There are sometimes, like you mentioned, a fall from a deer stand. That's one of the injuries that hunters are sometimes subject to, but there could also be firearms injuries associated with that. Could also include just an automobile accident, preparation for getting someone life-saving care long enough for them to get to a regular medical facility for emergency treatment.
Absolutely. So in the expanded course, we begin with concepts like scene security. So in the case of your average motor vehicle collision, we would like to help those others, but the very first thing we need to do is preserve our own life and welfare.
Absolutely.
So we don't want to run out in the freeway to help somebody, because then we produce another casualty, similar to a wartime situation.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that sometimes can happen, especially even for people that have been involved in the accident. They're not fully mentally capable. They've had an adrenaline dump, and now they're able to do things that they shouldn't be able to do because of their injuries, but they're not fully mentally aware of what they're doing and not realizing that, you know, they could be putting themselves at even greater risk by taking whatever action they're taking.
And so this is where education, training, and repetition can come in very handy.
That's very similar to a lot of the concepts that we use at Sim Trainer for training firearms, and saying, you know, you need to train under stress, because you are going to respond in the way that you have trained, not necessarily what you think should happen, because the thinking process is going to be compromised. You're not going to be able to think as well as you would like to, or as much as you expect you would, because in that situation, that's one of the things that goes.
Sim Trainer has been very good at establishing a mindset appropriate for those encounters.
Well, that's great. And this is a pretty good match. So are you planning then on teaching a course in our area at Sim Trainer or somewhere close?
Jeff has alluded to and set me free to discuss with some of your membership some topics of interest that they would have.
Okay.
And among those topics, primarily, again, what happens when somebody gets hurt right at the range? How do we deal with that? And with an intact EMS system, it's as simple as dialing 911, but sometimes those folks are not available. And so what we do is explore alternative methods to start that process, especially within the first hour.
Okay. And that we've often heard of the golden hour, that's how long you have to get the treatment started, because if you don't, people's vital fluids or whatever other injury can just take over and then they can't recover.
That's right. And there are a variety of things that we can do to preserve that life and limb eyesight prior to EMS's arrival, particularly if we're in a place that's not as conveniently located as Sim Trainer.
Yeah, we're pretty close. In fact, we're just a short drive away from Miami Valley Hospital. So if something were to happen, obviously we would. That's not the kind of situation we're talking about here as much. But suppose that the standard medical protocols aren't available. We have an emergency situation of some kind, a major catastrophe, maybe a weather event like we had a couple of years ago with Hurricane Ike blowing through here and wiping out power all over the place, and everybody was needing care all at the same time. This is the kind of preparation that we're talking about, being able to at least have people some idea of some of the things they can do. Maybe some supplies, things that to have on hand. Is that some of the stuff that you would cover?
I was going to mention that right away, Mark. We often think about how to react and what to do, but it's difficult to prosecute that without the appropriate supplies. And so we talk about storing particular items, particularly enough water and food. We talk about sanitation, personal hygiene. We talk about the appropriate field medical kit or austere home kit. There's no end to the topics that we can explore. We just need to know what the membership is interested in, and we can put together a course of any length of time ranging from 3 hours to 3 days.
And what would a course like that typically cost? Like a three-day course on the order of like $400 to $500?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just kind of as a matter of perspective for people to understand just exactly what we're talking about here, that's a fairly significant investment for somebody to want to get that level of information. We need to take our first break of the hour, so if you're interested in this topic, you can get more information later in the show as well. But if you'd like to be part of the show, give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio, and we do have some folks on the phone. We'll get to them after the break. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
This is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and we are glad to be back in the studio. If you'd like to be part of this show, give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number into the studio, and we will get you up on the board. There are a couple of open lines, but let's go right out to the phones now and talk to Dave, who's calling in with a question. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mark. My question is actually a two-part question. It concerns the Ohio concealed carry laws in the state parks, county parks, township, municipal parks. Does the permit allow a person to carry the firearm?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Now, some of these parks may still be posted, and that is left over from before preemption said that, and then there was also court cases that confirmed that governments do not have the authority to place parks off limits. What they do have, however, is if you have an occupied building, in other words, a building with an office in it, if the park ranger, for example, the park ranger's office where the business would be conducted for the park, that would be off limits for carry. You'd have to lock it in the vehicle. But the park facilities itself, the restroom facilities, places like snack bars and so forth, those are not off limits by state law. Now, just as a point of order, if something is posted, I would strongly recommend not just completely ignoring those signs, recognizing that somebody may not be aware of that, and it could cause your day to get more complicated. How's that for a euphemism?
Yeah, there's that. My second part of my question then is, if I'm at a municipal park, it's not part of a school, and there are soccer fields and lacrosse fields there, and kids are being bused in from schools to play in that park, does that change the regulations any?
If it is a school activity, and if they're on school buses, you can be reasonably assume that it is, in fact, a school activity, then you can't participate in the activity. So it would be, you would not be able to go sit in the bleachers and watch what's going on. But that doesn't mean you can't be at the park. If you're there doing some other activity, maybe you're bird watching or whatever other activity that you're doing besides participating as a spectator or as a fan of the sport that is going on, then you can, your presence is permitted, but you can't be involved in the school activity because school activities are considered part of a school safety zone, along with school buses and the school property, all the school premises and buildings.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling the show. Let's go out to Paul, who's calling from Dayton. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. I got a question for you. I have a carry license, and I have my own gun, and I try to take something a little more, get a little better, maybe more help than what I could use right now. Is there any class down there that's has anything like that?
Oh, certainly. We have several classes that would meet that. How much firearms training have you had to this point before your license?
I probably had 50 rounds with a carry, get my carry permit, and that's about it.
Okay. Depends on where you are. You're comfortable with the handgun that you have?
Yes.
Okay. I would say probably our advanced handgun series then. Basic handgun is really for people who have not fired their personal defense caliber handgun much, aren't comfortable with its operation, or are looking to purchase a firearm and would like to try out several. Our basic handgun class does that. In fact, we have one of those classes this afternoon. I believe it's full, but we have... we do have that class. Then we also have an advanced handgun series of classes. I believe that series is full for this quarter, but the next one will start in July. And we have, it's a 5-course series that takes you from mastering marksmanship fundamentals through barricade and positional shooting, how to shoot from a seated position or standing, as well as how to shoot around whatever you're using for cover or concealment. A move and shoot class, which teaches you how to shoot at moving targets and to move while you are shooting, which may be your best way to avoid being shot yourself in a self-defense situation. A low-level light class that allows you to get the practice in shooting in the dark, how to place that accurate shot in the dark and how to find your sights in the dark, and also how to use a flashlight for illumination and do that without shooting your hand. And then finally, the handgun level 5 class is our spontaneous assault class, where we change from the sight-focused shooting that most people do to place an accurate shot to target-focused shooting, which is much more spontaneous, up close and personal, where you just push out to the target and place an accurate shot that way. Now, that's kind of a quick summary of the stuff that we have at SimTrainer, but we do need to take a break right now. So let me just make one last reminder to everyone about our phone number here at the studio, 457-1290, if you'd like to be part of the show. We'll be right back after the break. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be part of the show today, give us a call at 457-1290. We do have a guest in studio. Dr. Greg Kennebeck is here with us, and we will get back to him in just a minute. But before we do that, let's go back out to the phones and talk to Chris, who's called in. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey, I recently purchased a Chinese SKS, and it came with a 50-round clip. And I'm thinking of, I've been looking at a... tactical style scope with a laser on it, and in the catalogs I've been looking at, it says look at your local laws for, you know, whether or not it's permissible. So my question is, what scope would be legal in Ohio? How many rounds can I put in that 50 round clip, and can I use hollow point? Is that all legal in Ohio?
All right. I'm going to patch it down just a second because it's a little bit noisy on your end and you're driving. I understand that. There are no restrictions on scopes or laser sights that I'm aware of. You can put whatever will work for you. We've had some discussions about lasers before. I'm not a big fan personally, but they certainly do have some application for folks. As far as magazines are concerned, Ohio defines an automatic weapon to include magazine capacity. And if you have, if the gun, the way it's worded is if the firearm can fire more than 31 rounds without reloading, then it is by definition an automatic weapon. And that doesn't include 22 long rifle, but it includes any other caliber. So if you load that 50 round magazine up to its full 50 round capacity, then you have turned that into an automatic weapon by Ohio definition. And that's a little goofy. It's something that we really ought to change because automatic weapons are defined by the way that the trigger functions. When you pull the trigger, does it fire one shot only, or does it continue to fire until the magazine is empty? That is what an automatic weapon is, except, of course, in Ohio and a few other places where they've defined it based on magazine capacity. So the way that's been interpreted, if you don't load the magazine above 30 rounds, then you aren't violating that, or you're not turning it into an automatic weapon, which is what most people are concerned about. Does that make sense? I guess he dropped off. So that's the understanding as far as the magazine capacity. But as far as scopes or lasers, that's not something that is an issue in Ohio. All right. Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go back to the discussion that we were having a little bit earlier on medical issues and how to be prepared for things. And in with me in the studio today is Greg Kennebec, who's a doctor and emergency medical physician. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
Tell me a little bit more about where you would go with this, with the course, and how this course ties in with some of the other things that Crisis Ed is doing.
Let me take a step back.
Okay.
As we formulated the Crisis ED team this year to make the ride, I sent out a number of emails to key people in our lives seeking charitable donations for the ride itself. Jeff Pedro, being a friend of mine, received that email and expanded on that, stating rather than him making a single donation to our cause, he recommended that I come down to the Tactical Tuesday Night League and participate as I had in the previous seasons and pull the membership.
Back when you had a little bit of spare time?
Just a little bit of spare time. That spare time is coming back.
Good.
And so he wanted me to ask them what they would be interested in that I could present to them to give back, and rather than make a direct donation or contribution from Sim Trainer or Jeff Pedro personally, to see if we could assemble a series of charitable donations toward the Wounded Warrior Foundation, toward the Crisis ED team, really in exchange for the design and production of a course of the membership's interest, which I could easily facilitate, because although as an active duty service member, I'm not allowed to receive direct compensation for anything that I do off duty.
Sure.
I can funnel that or direct it to a charitable cause.
Sure, absolutely.
And in exchange, give my time back, which I would love to do.
Which, and by the way, you're also given a tremendous amount of time towards the ride itself. I mean, that's 2 days plus all the preparation and so forth that goes along with that. That's a really powerful contribution on your part. I thank you very much for doing that. I know the Wounded Warriors appreciate it more than they can say. So how then is this going to, are we going to work this together? We've got, for those who have missed maybe the first part of the show when I was stumbling all over things, if you go out to our website at sim-trainer.com/radio, there's a link to support Team Crisis ED. And folks can go out there and contribute, and this is completely of your own volition. I mean, there's no direct tie for that, but then how is this going to come back to the class? You're pulling this class together that is specifically tailored to the interests of those who have identified. If they contribute, you get their email, or can they give you your email?
Actually, as a function of contribution, I am given a notification, whether it's contribution to the team in general, to mm-hmm. myself, or to either of my other two team participants, Emily or Cole. I would ask that if you are generous enough to make a charitable contribution through the Sim Trainer website, that you focus your attention to Emily or Cole when you select donation to participant within the Crisis Ed website. We'll get that email back. If you're a member of Sim Trainer or you're interested in participating in a class, that will serve as a receipt, and I'd be happy to enroll you in the course and even take your input as to its design, because we'll be working on that over the next couple of weeks.
So then for people to be able to do that, let me just very briefly explain how to get there. When you click on the link on our page, there is a My Team page link on the beginning of that, at right at the top. So if you click on My Team page, then you see a list of everybody on the team, and you'd like for some of those other folks that are out there to be the folks that are focused for their donations?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's super. And Cole and Emily Kennebec and Richard Oberheide, they're all listed out there as well, so you can figure out who of those you would like to support and back their trip on that as well.
And let me remind the listeners today that we are right on target as of last night. We've only been at this for 2 weeks, and our final push is this coming week. So over a three-week time period, our goal donation would be $5,000, and we just surpassed the two-thirds mark last night. So we are right on track.
That's super. That's super. All right. So people then will, as part of this process for donation, they give you your email address, and then you'll respond back to them and let them know or find out from them what it is that they'd like to see in a class like this?
Absolutely. Would love to do that.
Okay. So you will send them an email, because otherwise they wouldn't necessarily have your email. I guess we can put that link on there too if you'd like. But actually, I don't recommend that. Folks, if you want to get email to Greg, send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com, and we will forward any of those emails to him. So he will get that information, and then he will respond to you directly. But let me tell you, putting your email address out on the airwaves does tend to generate a little bit more undesirable email than you might want, because there's people out there harvesting that as well. So we'll use our email address. We already get all that junk, and we get it filtered out anyway. So send it to radio@sim-trainer.com, and then we will forward them on to Dr. Kennebec so that he can get in contact with you and find out what it is that you would like to have in a class talking about emergency medicine for the civilian.
And Mark, I would add that I'm not technologically gifted as you are, but I do believe that anybody that makes a contribution via the website will have to put some small personal information in, including their own email, mainly because I'd like to email you back and say thank you for your continued support. If there's a breakdown with that communication and you do not receive an email from me, please follow Mark Avery's advice on contacting us here at Sim Trainer.
Yeah, and we'll be more than happy to get that information on back to you. So if you have an interest in what it is that that Greg offers in emergency medicine for people who aren't doctors and physicians, not ordinarily part of the emergency community, and you would like to find out more information about that, you can also send an email. If you have some particular questions of things that you would like to see addressed in a class, send us that information as well, and we'll get that all forwarded on to Dr. Kennebec. Let's go back out to the phones shortly. If you would like to be part of the show, give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio, and we will get your call up on the line. Let's talk to Wusi, who is calling from Springfield. I may not have gotten that name correctly, but welcome to the show.
Yes, this is Rosie.
Okay.
I'm a retired senior NCO from the military. I've had special operations group experience. I'm multi-weapons qualified. But now I've had two heart attacks. I've got both my knees replaced and one hip. And I've got operations on both shoulders. And one thing that the military didn't prepare me for is using a concealed carry weapon while I'm freaking handicapped.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, do you have anything like that? Or if you can design something like that, I would be willing to take it. And there may be other handicapped people who would also be desirous of this. Because, you know, as you can understand, we're at a distinct disadvantage.
Absolutely. And, in fact, quite a target for some of the predators out there. We have had several people come either as members or as students in our classes who are wheelchair bound. And that's something that we've done quite a bit of, actually. We have one of the guys that shoots in our league who has shoulder problems, and he can't often come up to a point shoulder shooting position. And frankly, he does very, very well. He does use a laser on his gun. That is one of the places where we have found lasers to be tremendously helpful, because it gives you the opportunity to aim accurately without being able to see your sights in a typical sight picture.
My weapon of choice is my Smith & Wesson 5059 or 5051. I can't remember what it is. Again, that's my heart attacks have affected my memory. But it's the one with the 4.5-inch barrel.
Okay. Is that a semi-auto or a revolver?
It's semi-auto.
Okay. And there are certainly a technical assistant type devices that can make that work a little better for you in terms of being able to aim accurately. And lasers are probably one of the most common. And do you have any problem operating it from a perspective of being able to rack the action and load the magazine and load the magazine?
No, not as long as I don't get my elbow, into external rotation.
Okay. And it's just then a question.
My right shoulder is worse than my left. And unfortunately, I'm right-handed.
Okay. You can call the range at 293-3914, and we would be more than happy to set up something with you. It's not something that we have run a class with. It is kind of an exception processing sort of capability, but we have done this many times for people to help them work out the details that let them be able to manage their firearm and be able to get to it, draw safely, handle it safely, and defend themselves in a situation when they don't have the same physical capacity that either they once did or that they would need to defend themselves physically. And we would be more than happy to help you do that.
Okay, and I'm sure you also understand I may need to change my holster setup.
Yes, most likely that's true. And we have several options that would make that work a little better for you as well. And like I said, we have several people who have been through this process, and we consider them to be a tremendous resource as well in helping people get those accommodations set. We need to take our last break for the hour. If you'd like to be part of the show, give us a call at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and in the studio today we have had a guest, Dr. Greg Kennebec. And Greg, thank you very much for being part of the show today. I'd like to turn a minute or so over to you and just let you kind of wrap things up, tell people what more they can do, and anything else you'd like to share with our audience today.
You know, primarily, Mark, I want to thank you for having me on the show today. I want to thank Jeff Pedro and all the entire membership and listeners that support Sim Trainer. They've been a tremendous resource for me over the previous 7 years. And I hope they get a quick glance at our Crisis Ed team. But what I hope for more is to meet you at the range. Thank you for your tremendous level of community support.
Hey, thanks very much. And we're really glad to be there for the community and to especially have you a part of what's going on at Sim Trainer. Let's go back out to the phones very quickly before we run out of time. And we'll talk to Eddie, who's calling from Dayton. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Hi. I had a question. I'm a subcontractor, and I wind up on properties in it's pretty rough areas from time to time. The other day, I wound up on a job and the property backed up to a school. I'm curious as to where my CCW permit would fall there. Like, on that job, I didn't really feel it was a fairly nice neighborhood, so I went on and secured my firearm, not to take the chance.
Okay. That's a perfectly legitimate question. The way the law is written, a school safety zone is off limits, and that includes the school property itself, the school buildings, but the entire premises that is the school. It does not include any public sidewalks that or the streets that border the school, and it does not include private property that is not part of the school. It also includes school buses and school activities, which we talked about earlier. So that would be like if the school team was playing soccer at a public park, then if you were observing the school soccer game, then you would not be able to carry at that event. But as far as this bordering properties, as long as it's not school property, you're okay.
All right, great. Thanks
very much for calling the show. And let's go out and talk to Tony and Troy. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I have a permit, and I've renewed it once. But now I'm coming up in this coming March to get it renewed again. I understand I have to go through some kind of firing certification. Is that correct?
That is correct as the law stands right now. We don't know yet what that recertification will consist of. It has not been defined. As far as we're concerned at Sim Trainer, if we end up having to do that, it will be a requirement that you are able to demonstrate competence. And to us, that means you can safely handle your firearm. You know how to load it. You know how to charge it. You know how to accurately fire at a target at a reasonable distance. And then you know how to unload it and do all of that safely, keeping the muzzle pointed downrange, keeping your finger off the trigger where it's not supposed to be, and so forth. That's kind of what we look at as generic range competence. There is a bill currently pending that would eliminate the need for a recertification. I don't know whether that will pass or not. It is certainly certainly has been getting some attention, but we will have more information about recertification as we get closer to the need for it at the beginning of next year. We're out of time, and I want to thank Dr. Greg Kennebeck for joining us today. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. Stay tuned now after the news at the top of the hour for Bob Wolf and Gloria Shanahan with There Is a Season. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.